Well, good morning, Connect Church. I am so glad that you're here today. Man, can we just give our praise and worship team a big hand clap of praise? Yes, I want to see you. Yes, you sitting right there on your couch. Let's give our praise and worship team a big round of applause. I'm telling you, I was over there singing and I forgot, man, I got to preach, so my throat started to get scratchy, so I had to kind of slow down, but I am just so excited that you all are here today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I believe that I have a word from the Lord today to share with you. Our sermon today is entitled, God in Times of Need. God in Times of Need. And if you can, go ahead and turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I need you to meet me in Psalms 139. And here's all I came to tell you today is that God knows you and God knows your story intimately. Yes, I came to tell you today that while you are sheltering in place and while you can sometimes feel like life is just caving in on you, I come to tell you today that in times of need, God knows you and he knows your story intimately. Let's read Psalms 139. If you can, let's stand. I know that you're not here today, but right there where you are, let's stand and let's honor God's word. Psalms 139 verse 1 says this. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and where and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. And you are intimately acquainted with all of my ways, even before there is a word on my tongue. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, I just thank you for this opportunity, God, to stand before these, your people, and share your word. I pray, God, that this word today falls on the good soils of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but God, I pray that this word falls on the good soils of our heart. God, here I am, God, I stand, God, as a broken vessel, God, ready to be used by you. God, I pray that you use me for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. God, basically what I'm asking you to do, God, is wear me like a glove, God. Use me, God, for the intents and purposes that you created me for. And God, I just thank you that this word today is encouraging, this word is uplifting, God, and this word is a relevant word for your people today. In Jesus' name we pray, let everybody say amen. You can be seated. In Gatlinburg, Tennessee is home to one of the number one religious tourist attractions in this country. This attraction is called Christus Gardens. And in the centerpiece of Christus Gardens is one of the most photographed objects in all of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. There's this 6-ton marble slab that was found in a dusty, dry, abandoned warehouse in Italy. And it was sculpted to depict the face of Jesus. But what makes this carving so unique is that no matter where you stand in front of this 6-ton marble slab structure, it's been sculpted in such a way that it seems like no matter where you stand, that God is right there with you. And you see, that's the dilemma that King David finds himself when he writes this 139th Psalm. David realizes this. He realizes that God is not it's not that God knows everything, but what David realized was that God knows him. He realizes that God knows us. God knows it all. The text says that God knows it all, and in fact, he knows you. This Psalms was written in a time of David's life when David was really thinking about his life and where he was going and what was going to take place and what he meant to God and where was his life going. And I know that for some of us today, we find ourselves in this time of sheltering in place. We find ourselves in a similar situation to David. Sometimes when we are alone with ourselves, some people, here's the thing that I didn't understand, that most people can't stand to be alone. Most people don't want to be alone with themselves. Why? Because we start to take a look inside, and sometimes when we take a look inside, we sometimes don't like what we see. But can I tell you this? God knows you, and he knows you intimately, and he knows your story. And the thing that I found the most during this time of sheltering in place is this, is that sometimes when we have a lot of time on our hands and when we are alone, catch this, isolation can bring on frustration. Isolation can bring on frustration because I'm telling you, when you are alone with yourself and when you are isolated from others, you have a chance now to really understand and know who you are. And sometimes some of us don't like the picture that we see. Have you ever found yourself during this time asking yourself and thinking about, man, where is my life headed? Where am I going? Sometimes life can just feel like I'm a big rat just on a big turnstile, and I'm just going and going and going on the inside but not making any progress. Can anybody else identify with that? Sometimes you don't know where your life is headed, and you don't know even why sometimes that you're here. Some of us wrestle with those thoughts day in and day out, but I believe that this Psalms in 139, I believe that this Psalms, that God wants to show you, he wants to show us a different view. He wants to give us a view from the top. God wants to give us a perspective from his side and not just from our side. You see, sometimes we can get so caught up within ourselves that we forget about there's another perspective, that there's somebody else that's involved in this thing, that we're not in this thing alone. And that's where King David found himself. And I know that's where we sometimes find ourselves is sometimes we think that we are all alone and that nobody cares and man, I'm just going to just end it all because nobody cares. Hadn't anybody even called me and checked on me? Can I tell you this? God knows you. But can we put a comma right there at God knows you? If you would, check out verse 5. Verse 5 says this. It says, You have enclosed me behind and before. The text says that you've laid your hand upon me, and catch this, it says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Here's what David is saying is, he's saying that if God knows the most intricate of details of me, he says, I can't understand it if he really knows who I am and some of the nasty thoughts I have and some of the nasty attitudes I have. If God really knows me, verse 5 and 6 says, and tuck this thought away in your heart, God knows you, but he still loves you. Man, that'll cause somebody to shout right there. That's where David found himself is. He says that God knows all of this about me, and he still loves me. He says, it's too wonderful for me. He was just amazed at how God could know him. And David, being David, yes, David was a man after God's own heart, but David had issues. Anybody here can identify with issues? Yes, David had issues, and David's issues sometimes would cause him to feel like God did not love him, but in spite of David's issues, God still loves him. And can I tell you today, God still loves you. I know that you might not have the issues that someone else has, but you do have issues. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. So here's what I want you to understand. God knows you, but he still loves you. And what verse 5 and 6 is saying is that even though God knows me, even though I have all of these issues, God still surrounds me. He still protects me. In this time of COVID-19, I want you to understand that, yes, God still protects you, even though he knows you and he knows you intimately. And the text goes on to say that not only does he protect you, the text says that his hand is upon you. Anybody ever can feel the hand of God on them? When you see the hand of God in the text and the hand of God is on you in favor, it's not, because sometimes the hand of God can also be the wrath of God. But this hand of God that David is talking about is a hand of blessings, that he bestows blessings on me. Can I tell you this? Yes, God knows you, and he still loves you. He still blesses you. But some of us, sometimes when we understand that God knows us intimately, he knows the very intricate thoughts of us, the insides of us. He knows us like nobody else knows us. Sometimes it makes us want to just run away. Have you ever felt like just running away? Like, man, I am just going to leave all of this. That's the way David felt in verse 7. Verse 7 says this. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I go? Or where can I flee from your presence? He's not trying to just get away from the spirit of God. David is trying to run away from the very presence of God. He says this. He says, if I ascend to heaven, he says, you are already there. He says, if I go to the depths of Sheol, check this out, you're already there. He says, even if I take up the wings of dawn, and if I dwell in the most remotest place of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. Can I tell you this? God not only knows you, and he still loves you, but catch this, God pursues you. Man, that should cause somebody to shout right there, because even in our attempts to run from God, God is still right there with us. He pursues us. God wants this love relationship that he wants to share with us. It's the most intimate of relationships. God wants to share. He wants to do life with us. He wants to be there. Even when we try to run, God is still there. God pursues us. It was this fear of being totally exposed that caused David to run. Can I share this with you? That's one of the biggest fears that most of us have, is somebody finding out who we really are. You see, we come to church with these fake mask on, and we go through life with these fake mask on, with these facades and all of that, and here it is, God still pursues us, because this fear that we have of being exposed, I can just imagine King David sitting there in the palace. He's looking out over the balcony of the palace saying, man, where can I run? Where can I hide? David was probably singing a Frankie Beverly and May song, just running away. Where can I run? running away. Somebody gonna catch that in a few minutes. But here's the thing about God. He's not pursuing us, and he's not chasing after us to point the finger at us and to beat us down like some people think that God does, that God is just this big person that's sitting up high and his thumb is down on us down on us. But that's not why God pursues us. God pursues us because he's there to give us grace, and he wants to be involved in our life. And look at verse 10. Even when we try to run, even when we try to hide, David says he's still there because he said that in verse 10. He says that even there, your hand will lead me. That's guidance. Even when we're trying to run, God is still there to guide us. And then he wants to lay his right hand on us. That's security. God wants to provide security from us. So here's the thought that I want you to tuck away in your heart today. God knows you, and he pursues you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that you are wanted by God? Does anybody can you really just fathom that thought that, man, I am wanted by God, that God loves me so much that he pursues a love relationship with me? That must excite someone today to know that I am wanted by God, that God pursues you, that God pursues us. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says this, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Wonderful.